This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Maintaining bone strength is complex with no single solution. My patients who want to optimize their bone health have seen remarkable results with LiveMD as part of a comprehensive bone program. LiveMD is a Class 1 medical device cleared by the FDA. It creates a gentle, low-intensity vibration to benefit your musculoskeletal system. It's a safe, scientifically proven, and simple approach to maintaining musculoskeletal health and wellness. It really works, just 10 minutes per day. Go to livemd.us, that's livemd.us, to learn more about how LiveMD may improve your health. That's livemd.us.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We got lots of time to talk about health. That's our main subject. Each week here on Intelligent Medicine, we share vital health information with you that hopefully will make an impact on your life and the lives of your loved ones. 888-302-3684 is our number. We got time to answer your phone calls. We invite you to call us. We need your calls. 888-302-3684. And before we get to our important stories this week, and there are lots of them, I want to express thanks to the many of you listeners across the country. You know, the variety of ways to listen to this program. Some people listen via podcasts. They don't even listen live anymore. They listen to the podcast whenever convenient during the week when on Monday we post them at drhoffman.com. We have literally thousands and thousands of listeners there, over 1.3 million downloads of our weekend program and also our weekday content. So we thank you. We also have lots of people listening live, as some of you may be. And I just got an affiliate list and what are called the DMA ranks of the stations that we broadcast to throughout the country. And you know that Johnny Cash song, "I've been everywhere, man." Well, looks like I am broadcasting everywhere, man, because we've got affiliates all over the country. I'm not going to enumerate them, but, you know, as the song goes, Little Rock, Arkansas, Phoenix, Arizona, New York, we got Hartford, New Haven, we got Omaha, Nebraska, we got Spokane, Washington, we got Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo, Michigan, we got Duluth, Minnesota, Charlotte, North Carolina, Fargo, North Dakota. We got Boston, Mass, Syracuse, New York, and we got Salt Lake City, Utah, Jackson, Tennessee, and Nashville, Tennessee, and we got Seattle, Tacoma, Green Bay, Wisconsin, and Cleveland, Ohio, and on it goes. We're very happy to have thousands of people garnering useful health information via Intelligent Medicine. Thanks for listening. And keep on supporting our sponsors because this information is free, F-R-E-E, and we want to continue bringing it to you for a long time. All right, 888-302-3684. A new study finds the strongest evidence yet that antibiotics in early childhood can contribute to more and lasting weight gain. When I was a kid, it was the introduction of the antibiotic era. Actually, antibiotics were ushered in World War II as a means of saving the lives of soldiers who were wounded. You know, it used to be that you'd get a relatively minor wound, and then they would have to cut your limb off. You know, they literally, in the Napoleonic Wars and in the Civil War, there literally were piles of legs and arms, because if you got shot in the leg or the arm, there were no antibiotics, and you were likely to get gangrene. And you wouldn't die of the immediate injury. You would die of the long-term or the medium-term consequences of sepsis, of a body-wide infection that would emanate from your wound. But with the advent of antibiotics they had some things that they could pack your wounds with in World War I, but systemic antibiotics, penicillin, introduced in time for World War II, and then it became popularized. Okay, and then our kids started getting lots of antibiotics. And I have a feeling that I may have gotten, I don't know, like possibly a dose or two as a child, but nothing that compares with the avalanche of antibiotics that we give to kids now. Kids get ear infections, they get antibiotics. They get strep throats, they get antibiotics. They get all manner of powerful drugs to suppress bacteria. And sometimes, you know, in fact, these are necessary. They're life-threatening. I don't want to put a guilt trip on parents who succumb and finally accede to the use of antibiotics by pediatricians. But, you know, a couple things are happening. We're developing antibiotic resistance. It's getting harder and harder to treat infections. That's not good. We're putting antibiotics in animal feed. And animal feed then gets into animal flesh. We eat the animals, and ultimately we're exposed to, even if we don't want to take antibiotics, even if we're conservative about accepting prescriptions for antibiotics from our doctors, we get laden with at least low-dose chronic antibiotic exposure via our dairy supply and via our poultry and meat supply. This is a big problem. One of the reasons why we like to go for grass-fed, pasture-fed, organic products where possible, where antibiotics use is kept to a minimum. But here's the story related to kids. There's now growing evidence of the long-term health problems linked to too much exposure to antibiotics. In the largest and longest study so far looking at how antibiotic exposure affects body mass index, researchers found that the more doses and the longer children are exposed to antibiotics, the more likely they are to retain weight gained and to gain more weight over time. This research looked at 143,000 children between the ages of 3 and 18, and what they found was that having any antibiotic prescription in the past year, before the children's body mass index was measured, resulted in a weight gain. Research looked at the cumulative effects of the drugs, and they found that compared to children who did not take any antibiotics, those who did were more likely to gain and hold on to weight, and eventually even gain more weight by the time they were 18 years old. Now, this makes sense, because why do they use antibiotics in animals? Right? When the animals are sick, they give them antibiotics, right, to cure them of whatever illness they might have. No, actually, yeah, sometimes, if there's an outbreak of something, they give the animals antibiotics, but actually they dose the animals chronically with low-dose antibiotics because it appears that antibiotics make animals grow faster. It just makes them heavier, makes them more valuable at market. Their weight is greater, and that's how raisers of livestock get paid. Agribusiness knows this, and this is a little trick that can pump up the volume on profits. So, are there problems associated with antibiotics? Higher risk of type 2 diabetes, higher risk of asthma, higher risk of allergic disorders, higher risk of gastrointestinal problems, and on it goes. So what's going on? It's about the microbiome. Antibiotics may wipe out existing good bacteria and replace them with other less beneficial bugs, and this may adversely affect weight. The bugs in your gastrointestinal tract, the bacteria that inhabit our intestines, may have an impact, they surely do, this has now been proven, on our metabolism and the way that we digest, assimilate, and store away food as fat. So yet another reason to look to natural therapies, to look to more conservative approaches, to minor infections. Yes, big infections require big guns. But let's stem the tide of antibiotic overuse and protect our kids from lifelong problems, allergies, diabetes risk, obesity. Very, very important new research is now pointing the way to a need to reassess our over-reliance on these powerful drugs. 888-302-3684 is our number. We'll take your phone calls momentarily on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
The future of holistic health is here. Possessing the power to maintain wellness at the cellular level, RegActive is a revolutionary and remarkable new supplement that will transform the future of preventative and restorative health. RegActive features the innovative probiotic strain ME3, a patented probiotic with over 20 years of research proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione, the body's master antioxidant. Glutathione is used by all of our cells, especially in the fight against free radicals, environmental toxins, and the effects of aging. Our levels of glutathione decrease dramatically as we age, leaving us very vulnerable to age-related health issues. Revolutionary, remarkable, RegActive. RegActive is from Essential Formulas, renowned for introducing Dr. O'Hara's probiotics to the United States 15 years ago. Look for RegActive at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684 is our number. And we got a call from Christine, who's in Poughkeepsie, New York. What are you doing, Christine? Are you picking your toes in Poughkeepsie?
No, just trying to stay warm in Poughkeepsie. Cold day today.
Yeah, I think that was a line from a Gene Hackman movie. Old movie. Remember that? Picking your toes in Poughkeepsie?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know maybe that, but I'll remember it.
That dates me. That dates me. Okay, go ahead.
Hi. I just had a quick question to ask you. I take Femara since having been diagnosed with estrogen-positive breast cancer a couple of years ago.
Can I explain to listeners what that is about? Is that
sure.
There is a hormone blocking medication called Femara or Arimidex, and that medication actually blocks what's called aromatization, which means that it blocks the conversion of androgens to estrogen in your body. And it seems their studies do show that women with certain types of breast cancer benefit from that blockade. They have a lower risk of recurrence. I mean, presumably the cancer's not there, right? And it's just a precaution that you're going to be taking this for the next few years. That's the current recommendation for a lot. Like, it's akin to tamoxifen, slightly different, but, some women, they feel benefit more from Femara. Okay.
Right. I was on tamoxifen to start with, but then I had a resistance or a metabolization test done, and I don't metabolize tamoxifen, so they switched me to Femara.
And that's great. That's personalized medicine with genetic testing to tell us which medications are more likely to be beneficial for you. So that's a good innovation. Yeah.
Yeah, I was very happy for that because I thought I was wasting many months of taking tamoxifen and it wasn't doing anything for me to start with.
Why bother?
But my question is, I don't care for the side effects that come with the aromatase inhibitors, such as Femara, because I have achy knees, I have stiff fingers.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if there is anything as far as a natural product that does the same thing or would cut the risk as well as or ease
Let me put it this way, because I do see a lot of people, a lot of women in the office who are placed on this medication, tamoxifen or Femara in other cases, and the side effects are pretty uncomfortable. So if you tolerate the medication and you get some degree of protection, although it's a minor degree of protection, I say fine, put up with it. But there's also the risk of osteoporosis with Femara. Femara definitely increases your risk for bone loss because it cuts out your hormones, and your hormones are supportive of bone. What I say to some women who really don't tolerate it, I mean, I say, well, why go through years of discomfort to gain some degree of protection, which might be on the order of, 5, 10, 15% protection against recurrence? That means that a lot of women will be unnecessarily suffering side effects to get maybe a very slight survival advantage or protection from recurrence. And so, it's your choice whether you want to put up with it. But, there's a whole lot of things you can do for secondary prevention of breast cancer. I actually talk about that in a series of articles that I did, that was last month. And there's three parts of the article. And one part looks at the whole proposition that there is strong evidence that diet and lifestyle and supplements help. And then the other parts, I recommend the type of diet, and I recommend the type of supplements that are beneficial. Now, I'm not going to go into great detail on those because each article is, a long article and would be an entire broadcast in itself. But among the supplements that you can use for prevention, they include EGCG, vitamin D, fish oil. Even melatonin has been shown to have breast cancer preventive effects. And these can be taken with or without Femara. There's no competition or interference. You might gain, you know, say, you know, 8 or 10 or 12% protection from the Femara, and then you might gain an additional, you know, few percentage points of protection from each and every one of the supplements that I recommend. And that adds up to maybe a significant amount of protection, maybe, you know, 50 or 75% protection when you add up each of these components. And then there's exercise, which in itself, strenuous exercise may confer as much as a 30% reduction in your risk of recurrence. A diet which is low in refined carbohydrates, Mediterranean diet, can be very beneficial in terms of reducing the risk. So you really need, I mean, I think every woman who has had a diagnosis of breast cancer, and God knows now there are millions in the United States, deserves a shot at an integrative and a holistic approach to this. Not just, you know, go on Femara, fine, okay, that might help. But the magic is not in a single prescription pill. It's in a comprehensive lifestyle approach along with, you know, probably a handful of supplements that have been well documented to provide protection. And that information is available to you free. Just go to drhoffman.com and dial back on the podcast a few weeks, and you'll find the list of supplements that we recommend for breast cancer.
Yeah, and all of which I take, and many of them, 30-something I take on a daily or twice-a-day basis. I follow a Mediterranean diet. I'm wondering if my risk of discontinuing Femara is worth it then, since I am supplementing so well and doing all the proactive things that you recommend.
I think women are absolutely petrified, you know, when they have breast cancer and they're told that they have, you must take this medication, that this medication is your, is the key to your survival. When you can have that frank discussion with the oncologist or simply look it up, and you'll see that, yes, there is a benefit, but the benefit is slight, and sometimes the suffering is not warranted for a benefit which may turn out just to be theoretical and may not even be applicable to you, because with all the other things you're doing, you're not likely to get a recurrence anyway. That's how I would put it. And it's a personal decision, because someone would rather, you know, suffer some side effects to add that element of safety. And other women will say, hey, you know, it ain't worth it. You know, life is short. I'm not going to undergo this. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And our number, 888-302-3684. It was a great call, and we'd love to hear more calls from you when we return. More health information.
As we age, it's important to keep moving, but it doesn't have to hurt. You know, sometimes pain is inevitable, but suffering can be optional. In addition to healthier eating habits and staying active, I've discovered a powerful new formula to help provide nutritional support for healthy inflammation response. Kyolic Curcumin from our friends at Kyolic. Kyolic Curcumin is a synergistic combination of the antioxidant properties of odorless organic aged garlic extract, along with a proprietary Mariva turmeric complex made from a unique blend of curcumin and phosphatidylcholine to help maximize absorption. I take Kyolic Curcumin every day to provide natural support for healthy inflammation response, joint and muscle health, cardiovascular benefit, colon and liver function, as well as other nutritional benefits. So take the first step with Kyolic Curcumin. The rest is easy.
Kyolic Curcumin is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. For more information, visit kyolic.com.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System, a complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh.
Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine, 888-302-3684. Should you be desirous of joining the conversation, we welcome your calls. A couple of weeks ago, I wrote a series of articles which talk about how to debunk studies, how to look behind the curtain and discern whether a study that you're reading is telling the truth or whether it's bending the truth. Because so often we see studies that, you know, for example, say coffee's good for you, coffee's bad for you, make up your mind. And there's so many ways that research can be deceptive. And so it was of interest to me when I came across this article in Scientific American. Many antidepressant studies found tainted by pharma company influence. Duh. Okay, so this is a study of studies that shows that studies are bogus. They make a good headline. Study shows that studies are bogus. This study, which evaluated 185 meta-analyses, which themselves are aggregates of many other studies, found that one-third of them were written by pharma industry employees. Now, that in itself is not necessarily bad, but follow the money trail. Almost 80% of meta-analyses in the review had some sort of industry tie, either through sponsorship, which the authors defined as direct industry funding of the study, or conflicts of interest defined as any situation in which one or more authors were either industry employees, or independent researchers receiving any type of industry support, including speaking fees and research grants. There are various ways to launder money to get it to the people who will write studies. And, you know, academia is not very lucrative, and doctors and researchers, scientists, are always looking for outside sources of income. They're looking for funding. And there's plenty of funding forthcoming from the pharmaceutical industry. And maybe, just maybe, you don't want to bite the hand that feeds you, so to speak. And when you evaluate a drug, you might just turn up the volume a little bit on favorability ratings. You think? According to Eric Turner, professor of psychiatry at Oregon Health and Science University, he says that he's very concerned by the results, but he doesn't find them surprising. Quote, industry influence is just massive. What's really new is the level of attention people are now paying to it. What they found is very interesting. A meta-analysis, which is a study of studies, and very, very susceptible to bias, because you pick certain studies to put in your study, and just by the very act of picking or excluding a study, you may introduce bias. So let's say you're basing your conclusions on 20 studies, and you decide that 18 of the 20 studies show that X drug is beneficial, but you discard a dozen other studies that say that Y drug, the competing drug, is more beneficial than X drug, because for some reason you don't think the quality of the study is good enough to include in your study. I mean, that's commonly cited as a reason for not including a study in a meta-analysis. Meta-analyses by industry employees, it turns out, were 22 times less likely to have negative statements about a drug than those run by unaffiliated researchers. In other words, you're not likely to knock the drug that you're studying. And it turns out that of the majority of authors, 60% had conflicts of interest. In other words, they received industry money. They were not industry employees. They didn't physically have an office in the pharmaceutical company, but they received industry grants, speaking fees, various types of benefits from the pharmaceutical industry. Okay, here's an interesting tie-in to that. A new study, yet another study, shows that more than two-thirds, or 69%, of patients using antidepressant drugs which, by the way, are among the most lucrative and most highly prescribed of medications in America, they now have estimated that fully one quarter of adult women in America take one or another antidepressant. That's a very, very scary statistic, because in other countries it's maybe like 1 in 15, you know, at comparable countries. Not like, we're not talking Uganda, we're talking, you know, modern industrialized countries, countries in Europe and advanced countries in Asia. The statistics are much different for antidepressant usage. According to the research, among the users of antidepressant medication, 69% never met the diagnostic criteria for major depressive disorder. In other words, they weren't really that depressed. Maybe they were a little depressed. Maybe they had social phobia or shyness. Maybe they had mild to moderate anxiety. And what they're saying here is that women are nearly twice as likely to receive a diagnosis of depression or anxiety disorder than men are. Well, you know how women are always complaining about aches or pains. They don't feel good. Give them an antidepressant. Why not? The uptick in prescriptions for psychiatric medications is, quote, creating a new normal and encouraging more women to seek chemical assistance. The Rolling Stones wrote a little song about that in the 1960s. Mother's Little Helper. Yeah. You go running for the shelter of your mother's little helper, and it helps you on your way through your busy, busy day. Sorry about that. Women have learned that their normal feelings of sadness and anxiety, while they may be uncomfortable, are symptoms of a disease, and thus take a medication to quash those symptoms. So, studies saying overestimating the effectiveness of antidepressant drugs at the very same time that we're selling more antidepressant drugs than ever before to our unwitting populace. All right. All is not well in the natural supplements industry either, so I want to be an equal opportunity critic here. I recently wrote a very extensive article defending the supplement industry from charges that were brought up in, you know, throughout the media last week. 23,000 people arrived in emergency rooms across the country due to supplement mishaps. And that study, very unfair. You can read about that, my critique, which is detailed at drhoffman.com. I want you to read it. I want you to share it with your friends, your family, supplement skeptics, because you really got to get some counterbalance to all the media hoopla about supplement harms. It turns out, in fact, that a high percentage of these supplement problems were due to kids getting into supplements, swallowing supplements and choking. Well, that doesn't mean that supplements per se are bad. It means that you got to keep the supplements away from kids. Or, alternatively, older adults choking on supplements, taking too many pills and running into trouble. That is not about supplements per se. And then another very high percentage were due to these three categories: energy supplements, sports enhancement supplements, things that purport to increase your athletic performance, things with strange-sounding chemicals inside them that are said to be of natural origin, but actually are various forms of speed, and also sexual enhancers, some of which are spiked with Viagra, Cialis, Levitra, illicit drugs that found their way into the supplement vat, and that's not a supplement. That's you know, kind of a phony baloney drug concoction. So, however, GNC, a major supplement retailer, is in the crosshairs, and I got to say, I have a problem with this. I have a problem with what they've been doing. The suit by the Oregon Attorney General accuses GNC of selling thousands of units of 22 workout and fat burner supplement products. See, these are supplements I am not in favor of. I'm not a big fan of these supplements that contain something called picamilon, if I get the pronunciation correct. Picamilon. That is a prescription drug in Russia, and it's used there to treat neurological conditions, but somehow it's found its way into workout and fat burner supplements, which is a very high volume business in this country. It's not about, you know, a multivitamin or an innovative supplement like ubiquinol or EGCG. The curcumin, these are tried and true natural supplements that have scientific bona fides. And yet, strange drug-like products are being purveyed in retail outlets. Oregon Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum also accuses the retail giant of selling other workout and weight loss supplements that contained a synthetic amphetamine-like chemical known as BMPEA, beta-methylphenylamine. And that ain't good. That ain't good. Because, you know, you go to the health food store and you want something natural. But is it natural, or is this something made in a chemistry lab or even a drug not approved in the United States? And rightfully so, shares of the company plunged almost 15% this week due to the lawsuit because, you know, this taints the reputation of this retailer that they knowingly sold this stuff, and they have inner office memos where they say, well, you don't think we should take this off the shelves? Nah, no, well, you know, let's wait until we get some sort of regulatory action. It's okay. This is trouble. And unfortunately, it taints the entire supplement industry when players like this engage in edgy behavior. They're, you know, pushing the envelope on regulatory, using stuff in their products that doesn't belong in a natural dietary supplement. 888-302-3684 is the number if you'd like to comment. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you, and here's some supplement news. One of those supplements that we use that's kind of unique, a little different, is called transfer factor. Transfer factor is something that transfers immunity from colostrum to the recipient. So in the case of a young animal or a baby, the first breast milk primes the immune system to respond better to infections. And this is actually something that we borrow from the dairy industry, is when we separate young calves from their mommies, they are fed colostrum. The big industrial buyers of colostrum, they literally buy tons of dairy colostrum and feed it to dairy animals to prevent them from developing disease. Well, the principle has been invoked for humans. And no, it's not, you know, from human donors. It's not human breast milk. It's actually bovine-derived colostrum that is highly purified and free of dairy allergens. And the product that we use has just been evaluated. It's transfer factor from a company called Research Nutritionals, and it's a good company. And, you know, implicit in the title is they actually do research to find out if the stuff really works. And a new study by Dr. Rita Ellithorpe and Dr. Garth Nicholson. We've talked to Garth Nicholson during some of our broadcasts in the past. He's an outstanding researcher. He's done a lot of research on NT factor, the active ingredient in Propax. But this study is entitled Nutrient Supplement Enhances Natural Killer Cell Function in Women with Chronic Fatigue Syndrome and Fibromyalgia. And it looks at, it's a small study, but it shows consistent benefits in the natural killer cell count in women who have chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia. There is not a single blood test that identifies people who have CFS or fibromyalgia. It's more a symptomatic diagnosis. But a pretty consistent finding is that these individuals have lowered natural killer cells. And by raising natural killer cells, ultimately, we could have a beneficial effect on these conditions. So very happy to see that one of the products that we use, Transfer Factor. By the way, check out drhoffman.com for that product. It's a physician-sold product, and it's available to our patients and our listeners via drhoffman.com. Also, new research on thiamine. You know, while we're talking about fibromyalgia. Dr. Antonio Constantini, a professor of neurology at the Catholic University of Rome, has written a paper about high-dose thiamine. Thiamine is vitamin B1 for fibromyalgia. And, you know, you take a B-complex, you're going to get maybe B50, 50 milligrams of thiamine. Thiamine in and of itself is not that popular as a high-dose B vitamin supplement. But in this study, he's using high doses. He uses as much as 1,500 to 4,000 milligrams daily, which is safe and well-tolerated. According to the research, thiamine is administered starting at 600 milligrams per day orally, gradually increasing the dose by 300 milligrams per day each week, going up to as high as 1,500 to 4,000 milligrams. Side effects were not encountered. And the inspiration for this comes from a condition called CWP, chronic widespread pain, which is a known consequence of thiamine deficiency, or beriberi. Beriberi is a very, very extreme form of thiamine deficiency, and it's just it's a very painful condition. And so while women with fibromyalgia, generally it's women, there are some men with fibromyalgia, complain of chronic pain, they're not truly thiamine deficient, but they may need higher, much higher doses of thiamine to make their cells work efficiently, according to this study. All right, if you are relegated to the task of washing dishes, take solace from this study. Washing dishes after a long day seems like the furthest thing from relaxation, but according to a new study, Florida State University, they have found that washing dishes calms the mind and decreases stress. So there's a catch to it. You have to wash the dishes mindfully. They published this research in a journal called Mindfulness. And mindfulness means being in the moment. So you're not just, you know, washing dishes, thinking about, you know, that argument that you had with your boss, or the fact that you resent your domestic partner. No, it's about being there in the moment and feeling the sensation of the water, the warm water in your hands and the rubbing and getting, you know, each little morsel off the dishes and just being in the moment, using dishwashing as a kind of a meditation. You can do that with virtually anything. Okay, and this one, a particular concern, you know, I walk by nail salons here in New York, and I truly feel sorry, not just for the clients who sit there, but also for the poor workers. The poor workers spend the whole day in these nail salons inhaling what smells like airplane glue, which you know is bad for you, harmful, potentially carcinogenic. There are known associations between inhaling these vapors and conditions like leukemia, blood cancers. Well, okay, a new expose in EWG.org, Environmental Working Group, good site for learning about problems associated with the environment, pesticides. Endocrine disruptor in nail polishes gets into women's bodies. A substance called TPHP, triphenylphosphate, is commonly used to make plastics into fire retardant in foam furniture. And if you wear nail polish, it could be in your body too. Research at Duke University tested the urine of 26 women who had recently painted their nails, and they found evidence of TPHP in every participant. TPHP is an endocrine disruptor, which means it can, you know, for pregnant women, bad idea. It's a gender bender for babies, and it's also something that might increase the risk of hormonally related cancers. So watch out for ingredients in your nail polish. Check out EWG.org for information. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.